Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show. Let's check in with Mark Lack.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Chris Dietert's joining us. He's the president of marketing and PR of Influential. Pleasure to have you on the show, brother.
Thanks so much, Mark. Appreciate it.
So what's your company doing? I know you guys work with 10,000 influencers.
Yeah, so we have a network of 10,000 influencers that are all onboarded onto an app. We're a leading data influencer technology.
It's a tongue twister.
Yeah. It's funny. I love to try to explain it to older people. Like, I actually have grades of explanations that I give to, like, you know, the 50 and over set, people that are about my age. And then,
who are you? I'll tell you a different way.
Yeah, exactly, because it can perplex people for sure.
Yeah.
But basically what we do is we reach huge audiences. We're an amplification tool.
It's like 5 billion people between all your 10,000 followers, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's mind-numbing.
So that's why the company's coming to you guys, because you got the access.
Yep, absolutely. And it's something that's it's built really quickly. We've done this in a matter of 3 to 4 years, wow. Which is wild, because I've had previous businesses for 10 plus years, and you know, things move along incrementally. Now it's like every single week, you're like, who is that in the office? It's like, oh, it's a new employee. Yeah. We have 95 employees right now.
I think that,
wild.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
I think the key point there, though, is that it took those 10 years in your other business to get to the place where now you can do it in three years, 4 years. What do you think has been the key to your success, though? 10,000 influencers, the biggest ones in the world on your platform. You got Fortune 500 companies hiring you. You said you got 95 employees already. You see, you don't even know who's in the office anymore. It's growing so fast. What do you think's been the key to that success?
You know, I will say unequivocally, my younger brother, Ryan, identified the influencer space in an amazing way. And he got together with a technical team that put together an amazing platform to facilitate all of this. I had my hand in it in the sense of my own expertise, which was PR and marketing. I had a PR company for 10 years called American Rebel PR. We did lifestyle and fashion PR for a wide variety of brands, everybody from deer foam slippers to John Deere tractors. We did some of their clothing stuff to Fender guitars. I had some crazy experiences during that time. I created a clothing line with Scott Weiland, the lead singer of Stone Temple Pilots, who recently passed. Which was an amazing experience, because that was like my childhood idol growing up. So,
cool.
To get to actually sit at fashion shows with him and then actually curate our own fashion shows and, you know, fly around the country and do rock show / fashion shows was like the coolest thing in the world to me. During that time, I also got to be a part of a television show with Dee Snider of Twisted Sister. I was going to an MTV show with him and his son, where his son was starring on. Called Rock the Cradle, that was all about young children of celebrities wanting to be rock stars themselves. And every time we would go out to dinner afterwards, and I would listen to them talk about how they were supposed to be the next Osbournes and that things just didn't work out for them. And me and a friend put our heads together and we're like, you know, I think we could try to make this work. And so we came up with a treatment and we, you know, pitched it to a production company and ended up getting it sold. And, you know, my first ever attempt at writing a television show ended up on national television on A&E. So, and I got a production credit out of that. So,
that's so cool.
You know, that was a really cool experience. And it was completely divergent from what I was doing at the time. But I think all of these relationships in the PR and marketing industries opened up amazing and crazy doors for me to be able
to leverage those now.
Exactly. And so I did that for almost 10 years. And, you know, with the economy crashing in 2008, marketing and PR became a very difficult thing to do as a standalone business. Mm-hmm. And
people were like, I don't even have money to pay the bills. How
exactly.
am I going to get to marketing? Which is the one thing they should be doing. But
exactly. And people just don't realize that sometimes. And when I started the company in 05, 06, I was getting $10,000 retainers from clients where they're giving me money every month just to get them publicity. And then 2008 comes around and people are like, oh, what can you do for like $2,000 or $3,000? And they'd actually expect you to do more than what you were doing for
$10,000.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I can't do much more for you. So after doing that for a long time, I saw sort of a change happening in the marketing and PR industry. And a lot of it was centered around social media. And so I saw what my brother was doing and it was really exciting. And I came to him with an idea to kind of bring social to life through an event series we called the Influential House. And so We did our first one in 2014 at Coachella. And this was, you know, at a very much an infancy state of the social media landscape. And because of that, we were able to attract all of the biggest stars of social media. In fact, there was a 60 Minutes piece that aired about a month ago about the top social influencers. All of them were at our first event, which is absolutely wow. Wild.
It's so cool to see how you guys have grown. And
yeah.
Hearing your story reminds me of why I became an entrepreneur, because of the risk, the adventure, and the reward. We've got the president of marketing and PR of Influential, Chris Dietertz, joining us. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. For the people out there, though, right, I was just saying how you inspire me and remind me why I became an entrepreneur, because of how fun the journey can be, and you never know where you can end up. And you got to meet one of your, like, idols growing up and work with him. But there's a lot of people out there, though, that haven't cut the cord from their job yet, and they're never going to experience what you just shared with us on your journey and where you are now until they cut the cord. So what's your advice for them? When's the right time? How can they do it? How can they be prepared?
You know, it's hard to say if every single person is different. Yeah. And there's ways you can build bridges to things. I don't think that, you know, walking out like Jerry Maguire and, you know, leaving your office and, and starting off as an entrepreneur is probably the best way to do it. It's to find your passion and then build a bridge to it. Take gradual steps, meet with people, use your off work time to build your passion and create a strong enough safety net so that when you're ready to jump, you can jump with some peace of mind. It's always going to be a risk. The whole world of being an entrepreneur, as you know, is a very risky and scary thing. But you know, without great risk doesn't come great reward. You know,
I agree, brother. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some people have jobs they love and they really want to be an entrepreneur. That makes it tough. But there's people that hate their jobs. That makes it easier. Did you ever have a job that you hated that made you want to become an entrepreneur?
You know, I've been relatively lucky. I haven't had awful, awful jobs. I did have a job when I first got out of college at a company called The Firm. It was a top entertainment management company of its time. And I loved so much of the experience. We were working with the biggest bands and actors, and the cool stuff that I saw on a daily basis was amazing. But I had a boss that was just... if you've ever seen the Kevin Spacey movie Swimming with Sharks, I had the Swimming with Sharks sort of boss that actually made me cry in, you know, working his desk, and he would yell at me and take out his aggression on me all the time. And I didn't even understand why. And in retrospect, I know that, you know, he had his own issues, and it wasn't about what I was doing. But there's those experiences sometimes where you just have an awful boss who browbeats you for everything that you do, and you're sort of afraid to move left or right because you just feel like it's going to get your head bit off.
Well, sometimes people have, you know, bosses that they hate. Yeah. You said you got to grow up meeting one of your favorite idols. Who was one of your favorite superheroes growing up?
My favorite superhero growing up? You know, I would say probably Superman. I feel like it's pretty standard.
Pretty standard, yeah.
But I remember watching the Christopher Reeves movies when I was young, and he just seemed like he, like, really had it together.
Yeah. Well, do you feel like you have a quality or a trait that resembles Superman that you use in entrepreneurship?
You know, I think my ability to write is sort of my superpower. You know, sometimes when I'm either upset about something or really want to get a point across, rather than calling somebody or trying to, you know, give it to somebody verbally, I like to kind of hop behind the computer and really craft something and be very careful and thought out and you know, present it in a way that really makes people think and respect you.
I love that. Respect's the important part, right?
Absolutely.
So you've been in business as an entrepreneur for 15 years. Some people have been in business for 30 years, haven't achieved the success you have, and some people are just getting started. So with your wisdom and expertise, what do you feel like is three things that all beginning entrepreneurs need to be aware of?
Okay. Well, the first thing is you have to work tirelessly. Like, there's no...
Sounds so fun.
Yeah, right? Yeah. There's no off hours when you're an entrepreneur. You know, the only person that you're cheating is yourself. So you have to work as hard as possible. You have to pick something that you're absolutely passionate about. You know, your work has to be your pleasure and vice versa. If you're not doing that, you know, I remember seeing a feature that Chris Rock did in one of his stand-ups, and it was like the difference between having a job and having a career. And you want to have a career. You don't want to have a job. And then the third thing is just being able to, you know, be able to move and flex with the times. Like, as an entrepreneur, things are going to constantly come up. You're going to have to iterate your product in different ways. You're going to have to figure out ways to do things differently. Technology these days is moving so fast. And if you don't constantly change with it, you can quickly lose your way.
That's the one thing that's guaranteed, right? In life and in business, everything's going to keep changing. So you got to keep your ear on the railroad. If you had to start over, though, right? I mean, your business sounds awesome, what you guys are doing. But I'm curious, if you had to start over, if you just lost it all, what would you get into? What industry? What space?
Oh, man. I would have a hard time leaving the social media and
you want to jump straight back in?
Marketing.
There's no
space.
Other industries exciting. Yeah, into.
I don't know, man. I feel like I'm so ingrained in what I do, and it's what I love. So finding something new would be bizarre to me at this point.
We'll be right back with Chris Dieter to peel back the layers on a company and find out why it's so successful. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. Connecting a community of entrepreneurs is what we do. So you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
When's the last time you checked your credit score? Those three-digit scores can have a huge impact on your financial life. Credit Karma can help you with free scores, free reports, and free monitoring. Credit Karma also gives you the tips, tools, and advice you need to understand your credit and how to improve it. You can even spot potential errors on your credit report. That can mean better interest rates on loans and credit cards, which can save you thousands of dollars in the long run. Signing up is completely free. No credit card needed. Visit creditkarma.com or download the Credit Karma app now.
President Trump's new tax law cut your taxes by $5 trillion. Now you can reduce your taxes to zero. The best-selling guide, The Trump Tax Cut by Eva Rosenberg, shows you how, with tax deductions, loopholes, and money-saving secrets. One loophole gives a 20% cut in your tax rate. Newsmax says get The Trump Tax Cut. In bookstores or see the free offer and save almost $25. Go online now to TrumpTaxCut.com. That's TrumpTaxCut.com or call 800-NEWSMAX.
You shouldn't have to choose a...
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Chris Dieter is joining us. He's the president of marketing and PR of Influential. Recap first your company, brother.
Sure. So our company, Influential, is a data-first influencer platform. We have a network of 10,000 influencers that have all opted onto our system. And we are basically a conduit between Fortune 100 brands and the world's biggest influencers to run campaigns.
So I definitely want to talk about what the heck has been the key to your success in getting the 10,000 influencers and then also connecting them with the Fortune 100s.
Yeah.
But before we do that, you're in a space that's not only trending, but it's very noisy. There's a lot of people that say they can connect you with the influencers, or that's what their business does, and they connect them with, you know, the companies, the big companies out there like you guys do. What makes you different? What makes you better?
Our unequivocal separation from the rest of the industry is our data-first approach. We are all about creating the most relevant partnerships through data and technology. We've created a partnership with IBM Watson. They are a developer partner of ours, and we can actually use personality traits to identify the most ideal influencers for a campaign. This is really some big data sort of stuff. We can take the last 22,000 words that any influencer has spoken socially through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and we can extrapolate that into 52 different personality characteristics to find out if they're altruistic, if they're hedonistic, if they're heartfelt, if they're the hero, all of these traits. And what we can do is we can also run the same sort of stuff on brands, and we can find out what the archetype of a brand is and match that up on a scale of 1 to 100 with influencers and brands to find the most ideal match between brands and influencers.
I love it. I see why you get the big companies.
Yeah, thanks.
Because at the end of the day, right, the Fortune 100s, the reason why they're Fortune 100s is because they base their decisions off of data.
Absolutely.
Metrics and analytics are what drive success. If you know what you're doing with those numbers, of course, you guys obviously do, and you base basically the ability to match these people with the companies together by data. I love that. I think a lot of companies aren't doing that. They just kind of go, oh, you need an influencer. We'll connect you with some of them. So loved your response. You guys have not only raised money, but you've grown a team to 95 people, and it keeps growing faster and faster every week. So my question is, what's been the key to your success? Not only in getting 10,000 influencers, not only matching them with Fortune 100 and somehow getting them to be your clients, but getting a team of 95 people. Those are some hard things to do. What's been the key to your success?
Absolutely. Well, we have a great operations team that has been very, very stayed in their approach to finding the best talent out there. We have offices in Beverly Hills, Las Vegas, and New York City, so that can be challenging. But we've managed in Las Vegas to find a team of developers that's second to none. You would think you'd have to go to Silicon Valley for that. Lo and behold, there's amazing talent that exists out there in other places. And Las Vegas.
Everybody wants to live in Silicon Valley.
Exactly. So. And if we don't find them in Las Vegas, there's a lot of people nationwide that Las Vegas is actually very appealing to. You know, the cost of living there is relatively low. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of entertainment value there. There's a great culture bubbling up there. So, you know, finding a great team out there. And then, you know, in the Los Angeles, Beverly Hills office, we're a lot more sales, creative, marketing sort of focused. Obviously, there's a lot of that talent out here in this area. What's been great is that we have such a compelling platform and such a cool way that we work that, you know, in the beginning days, obviously, it took a lot of, you know, putting ads out and finding the right people. But these days, it's sort of we've hit that critical mass where people are coming to us all the time now and want to work for us. And so it gives us the ability to find the best and brightest minds, which is really exciting.
That's the best point in a business, right? Is when the people, not only the people that you want to hire are coming to you and knocking on your door and submitting resumes, but also when the clients are hearing great things about you and the clients are inbound requests as well. Mm-hmm. You had to raise money.
Yep.
I think a big trend right now, there's freaking TV shows about it. There's so many online platforms. Mm-hmm. Raising money.
Yeah.
It's a trend. You guys had to do it to grow your business.
Absolutely.
Can we talk about how much money you guys raised and what was the process of not only getting the funds, but allocating them?
Yeah, we've raised $14 million to date.
Wow.
We've almost been in a perpetual state of funding. It's wild because we have a very profitable business. We do very well. But in growing a technology company, especially, it's always important to have capital, and we want to scale this up in a very quick fashion. So, you know, we've done a seed round of funding, then we did a Series A, and next year we're planning a Series B round of funding. So, you know, we always have to think in that mindset, and you know, taking that money and putting it to the best use is obviously key.
Yeah.
You know, technology development is paramount for us. We're in the technology business, so we got to constantly iterate and constantly do things better than most or better than everybody if we're gonna win, be the big winners in the end. And so it really takes that level of focus and really going after that level of talent in the technology realm to continue to iterate and successfully move ahead.
You got to be able to allocate the funds not only to grow the team, but also, like you said, right, in your space especially, figure out what the new technologies is. And if they don't have it, you guys need to develop it.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the president of marketing and PR of Influential joining us, Chris Dietert. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Let's talk about the leader. At the end of the day, when you're raising money, they're investing in the leader. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many examples of where it's like the product, the idea, none of that really matters if it doesn't have a great leader to execute it, build the team. What do you feel like between you and your brother, the two guys leading this, what do you think your attributes and traits are that the people said, we believe in you, here's $14 million?
Yeah, I mean, it's flattering to even think that. I would be remiss if I didn't say that this was a lot bigger than me and my brother. We have an amazing COO, Dan Steele. We have an amazing chief technology officer, Peter Tomasik. And we have a great CRO in Chris Poydenis. And all of us put our heads together all the time to figure out ways to do things better, to be more effective. It's a real serious team effort, and it's amazing to have an inspiring team around you.
Well, when you're building a team, the one thing that every business says is the culture from five people is different than 10, is different than 20, 50, 100, 1,000, et cetera. So how are you maintaining great company culture as you go from when you had just five people, now you have 95 people? How are you maintaining a cool company culture? What are you guys doing?
We always try to keep it fun. We're a very informal company. You're never going to walk in and see a bunch of suits. You know.
So what you're wearing right now?
Yeah, exactly. This is my go-to. Yeah, exactly. It's a t-shirt and jeans sort of.
That's the trend now, though. Everyone's keeping it casual. You know?
Exactly. I mean, you're seeing all the best companies in the world, the ones that over and over win all of the awards, the Googles and the Facebooks. It's creating an environment where people want to be at work, where you don't even want to go home. If you provide lunch for people.
I don't change out of my clothes when I go home.
Right? Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
I'm already in my clothes.
Yeah, sometimes we'll have like happy hour type of situations. Yeah. If we can bring in, you know, we're talking about bringing in a band to come and play, you know, for our crew. And it's just ways of making things fun. You know, we have a very young office. I would say the core of our group is a bunch of 20-somethings. And if we don't make it a fun environment that they want to come to every single day, then we're doing ourselves a disservice.
I love that, brother. You remind me of an old saying one of my mentors taught me.
Yeah.
Don't just make a dollar, make a difference. And you guys are doing that. Pleasure having you on the show, brother.
Thanks so much, Mark.
Thank you. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. Connecting a community of entrepreneurs is what we do. So you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
And connecting a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Laurel Mintz, and this is Female Founders on Business Rockstars. I'm here with Sarah Boyd of Simply Stylist and Simply Digital, Inc. I got that right, right?
Almost.
Almost? You can tell us what it is.
The company name is Simply, Inc., and we have Simply Stylist and Simply Digital Network.
Well, I got the Simply part right.
Yes, you did.
Anyways, thank you for being with us today. So we're here to talk about your company, Simply Stylist, Simply Stylist, Inc., all of the digital components. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the brand.
Thank you. So Simply Stylist is how I started the company 5 years ago. And I really wanted a place for women to connect in a like-minded way and really kind way. So I created our Simply Stylist conference. We host it in L.A., New York, and Chicago, and actually next month, Dubai.
Very exciting. I actually went to the one in L.A.
Yes.
last year with Tyra Banks. Mm-hmm. Right? She was phenomenal. Didn't love the outfit. Did you get a lot of kickback on that one?
Some of the press was mean.
It was,
but she just
mean.
Had a baby.
She did just have a baby, and she was phenomenal. I mean,
yeah.
She is like the ultimate
amazing
entrepreneur celebrity. Entrepreneur-lebrity? Can we coin that term? So you have the Simply Stylist events, and then mm-hmm. you've got this whole digital component.
Yeah, so we have our events. Our conferences have 400 to 700 women that come to each. It's all about networking, connecting, inspiring, and then we also have workshops every month at the Grove, and they're much smaller. It's 50 people. And then we also have our Simply Digital Network, which we launched about 2 years ago. And that's our network of celebrity bloggers. So we represent them and we act as their agent in the digital space. So
you basically just never sleep, like most of the entrepreneurs on this show.
I know. It's a lot going on.
But then we would be bored if we didn't have that going on.
I just continue adding to the plate.
So do I.
And add a baby to the mix. I just had a baby a few months
ago. You did? You look phenomenal. Unbelievable.
Thank you.
It's all the stylist secrets that they share with you, I'm sure.
I'm taking tips.
Right. So tell us how you started the network. What was your background? Were you in fashion? How did you get here?
I was in fashion PR for 10 years.
Okay.
So I built tons of relationships over those 10 years. And I really saw a need for people to connect in the industry, not through cell phones, not through email, but a real life connection.
God forbid people actually connect.
So I love connecting. Ever since I was a little girl, I was always the glue in every relationship. So I wanted to create a business where I could do that as a living. And our first conference, we had 700 people there. And we have fashion bloggers and stylists and makeup artists and all these experts in the fashion and beauty community talking about their path to success, connecting people along the way. We have brands there. So it's really a place where you can come for the whole day, meet different people, get inspired, and build and get your foot in the door of the industry. Because it's really not something you can go to school for. If you want to be a blogger, if you want to be a stylist, you have to come to events like these to meet people, and you never know where that one handshake can get you.
That's exactly right. I say that all the time. I'm the ultimate schmoozer, so I totally agree with that sentiment. But what was that moment where you thought, you know what, I have all this experience in PR. I know that I can take that and build something else. Was there one like moment of that?
There was a few moments. There was a lot of just, okay, should I do this? Should I not? Like, do I take the leap? I knew that it was something that I had to do full time. I couldn't just kind of do it on weekends and on the side.
Which is unusual. Most entrepreneurs kind of dip a toe. They get a little freaked out and they kind of straddle both worlds. But you just... You took a flying, leaping cannonball into it.
I did. Love that. Well, I did the prep work for a few months before, but then I left my job 100% fully engaged in Simply Stylist. And I gave myself 3 months. I had my husband's support, thank God, because he was like my biggest cheerleader. And, those 3 months, I planned my first conference. I pulled in all the favors that I was always the nice PR girl over the 10 years. Thank God.
So there's a lot of them on the other side of that.
Oh, I know.
Too.
They're like, wait, you're so nice. So over those 10 years, I called in all those favors back. And I said, can you please speak on my panel? Can you please donate for our gift bag? Whatever it was, I pulled in all those favors for their first conference.
And was that? How many years ago?
That was almost 5 years ago.
How did you know that it was going to be in this fashion beauty world? I know you came from PR, but usually when you come from a world like that, you become very jaded in that world. Yeah. But you still had a passion for it. Was that where you decided to take that leap?
I mean, I always loved fashion. In PR, though, I felt very unappreciated. The clients are never happy. So I wanted to get away from that.
Yeah, I knew no idea what you mean being in a service-based
business. Oh, my gosh.
Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Laurel Mintz, and this is Female Founders on Business Rockstars. I'm here again with Sarah Boyd with Simply Stylist, Simply Digital. I'm not going to get any of those right,
you got
I know.
It right.
I did it. Got it right
yes.
that time. Fantastic. And you've just built such an incredible brand. We were talking about that moment where you decided to focus on the... fashion side of the beauty side and everything. And you were saying you were the nice PR girl and that kind of allowed you to call in all these favors.
Yes.
Was there a moment where you felt like you had really made it? I know I'm waiting for that moment. I've been doing it for a decade and I'm still waiting for that moment. But you know, there are those moments along the way where you feel like this is something that I can kind of hang my hat on and know I've actually made it. Were there any moments like that for you?
Oh my gosh, every day. I'm so blessed that I get to do what I do and love what I do and wake up passionate every day. So, I mean, it could be like hiring my first employee, getting my office, being featured in Forbes. Like, there's countless.
No big deal.
Having Tyra Banks speak at my event. Like,
that was
hello.
Huge. Yeah. That,
like, all of these things have just been instrumental to building the business. I feel like every day there's something amazing. Dubai coming up.
That's huge.
It's incredible.
So, you're in 5 cities now?
We are in LA, New York, Chicago, and now Dubai.
Unbelievable. And so talk to us about Dubai, because that's really an emerging market. A lot of people are starting to dip their toe in that world as well. Mm-hmm. Was there a call from them or did you have a calling to go there? Talk to us a little bit about that.
So we had a call from them about 2 years ago and they loved what we were doing. And they are an event company that's, you know, kind of coordinating for us on that end. Mm-hmm. And we're bringing in speakers from the U.S. So we're bringing in Ami Song. We're bringing in Suzanne Hendricks. And then they have local speakers there. So it'll kind of be a hybrid of Middle East and then U.S.
Interesting. How are your brands responding to that from the U.S.? Are they excited to launch into that world? Are people a little trepidatious about it? How's the sentiment been there?
Well, they have a lot of brands on their side that they want to bring in. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of handling a lot of that.
Fabulous. So they made it kind of turnkey for you.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal. That's the best way to do an event, right? Just show up and be fabulous, which you do a really great job of doing, obviously.
Thank you. Yeah.
So talk to us a little bit about how you've pulled all these people together. Have they expanded the network for you? How big is the network now?
So our digital network, we launched about 2 years ago, and it started with just Jamie Chung and her blog, What the Chung. We were on a hike one day, and she's like, I kind of want to start a blog. And I give her an email like, you know,
here's what you 20 should
pages.
Do.
Like, yeah. I'm like, we can connect this person and that person. You know, I'm putting the whole thing together for her. And within a few months, we had this amazing website. And I was like, just put my name up there for the contact. And she has grown into being, you know, one of the most sought after fashion bloggers.
She's very prolific in that space.
She's great. Mm-hmm. And so we've
a sweetheart, such a sweet person.
I only work with sweethearts.
Good.
Because life is too short.
And especially in LA, you know, yes. There's a lot on the other side.
So she's amazing. We've worked with her for almost 2 years. We have Kat Sadler of E, who's also mm-hmm. the host of our events. Olivia Culpo, we're launching her blog. Lauren Bushnell from The Bachelor. She's got an amazing blog called Sparkle in Her Eye that we just launched about a month ago. Alessandra Ambrosio. We've got about 12 to 14 clients right now in our digital network. And brands come to us and we put together their partnerships, their, any blog content, social media, appearances, anything for them as a blogger, we manage.
So you're kind of an agency of record for these bloggers. It's a really interesting model because originally PR was so separate from social, so separate from an agency, so separate from an agent. Mm-hmm. So what made you feel like this needed to be wrapped up into a package like this? Because it's obviously been very successful for you.
It just kind of came organically and fell in my lap. Like, I was friends with a lot of these people in my PR days. Mm-hmm. So they all came to me. They knew I was doing Simply Stylist, and we had a very prominent blog. And I knew about this space, and I'm doing the conferences. I have brand relationships. So they're like, well, why don't we all just work together?
Can you give us an example maybe of how, before you started the company, you might have acted, and now that you're an entrepreneur and you're building something that's bigger and multinational and global, really, how that's changed your perspective?
Definitely. I mean, before I was doing PR and my style changed when I started my own business. The meetings I took changed. I was meeting with more CEOs and founders. I had to change the way I spoke, the way I delivered in meetings.
About that. I would love to hear more about that.
You know, it's interesting. Like, I think just changing a title and being a business owner changed a lot for me mm-hmm. on the inside. Mm-hmm. So by going to these big meetings, I had to create, you know, the meeting structure and the plan. And I needed to think about what did I want to get out of this meeting. So I prepped a lot more before mm-hmm. I went in, knowing mm-hmm. what I wanted to receive out of this meeting.
Sounds like you became more of a big picture, 30,000 foot view thinker, which is exactly what you need to be a successful entrepreneur.
Definitely.
Whereas before, you were a worker bee in someone else's firm, right?
Nailed it.
Well, you know, that's what we do.
Yes, I was a worker bee because I had a million things on my plate. And now I have employees, I can delegate, and I can focus on the major relationships and the larger business deals. So
talk to us about delegation, because I think that is such a critical component to being a successful entrepreneur. How do you just decide what you can let go of? Because I know most entrepreneurs, myself included, we tend to be a little control freaky because we want everything to be perfect. And the truth is nobody can do it as good as we can, right?
Yes.
So how do you decide what you can and can't delegate?
Well, my life motto is don't sweat the small stuff. Mm. So I am not too focused on, you know, everything has to be perfect. So I am a little bit better at delegating than others that I've met. But I've had a lot of people that have been with me since day one. Mm-hmm. So they know how I think, they know what I want. But again, it's still hard. So a lot of times I'll carve out the business into different areas. The digital network was really hard because that's my personal relationships.
Right.
But my team is amazing. So I've seen them grow and I kind of give them a little bit and see how they do on that project. And then depending on how that is, you know, how successful that is, then I'll give them a little more. So I start slowly. But now, you know, I had to go on maternity leave. So I was gone for 3 months and the business
somehow
flourished.
Kept working, right?
I was like, wow, I came back like,
that's always the sign of a good or a strong entrepreneur is, have you built a team that's strong enough to be able to manage the business without you being in it? Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, for us to grow our businesses, we need to be able to work on it, not in it all the time, right?
Yes.
It's, again, that worker bee versus entrepreneur mentality. Mm-hmm. So that's phenomenal. And it was kind of forced upon you. It wasn't like you had a choice.
I was so scared.
I'm sure.
I hired someone to help consult while I was gone. But still, it was very scary being out. And I came back and I was like high-fiving everyone. They killed it.
I always say to my team that you need to be like in my head, you need to kind of be me.
Yeah.
Which is really, really hard, especially when they're not that 30,000 foot thinker that entrepreneurs need to be.
You can't teach it.
You can't. It's so hard. If we could, we would be billionaires by now, wouldn't we?
I know.
Maybe that's our next business venture.
There you go.
Figuring out how to teach people how to be in other people's brains.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sarah, thank you so much for being with us here today. Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Laurel Mintz, and this is Female Founders on Business Rockstars.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE, 844-91-BIBLE.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman, brought to you by Asus.
Going on a spring break vacation? If you're planning on sand, surf, and fun in the sun, don't chance it and take your smartphone into the water or to the beach. Instead, check out JVC's quad-proof Evrio cameras. So what is quad-proof exactly? We asked Francisco Lacey from JVC.
What we have with our consumer cameras that we've developed over the last few years is a quad-proof camera, which is very unique to the marketplace. It keeps the traditional form of a camcorder in your hand. The feel of it is much better, but the quad-proof nature of it makes it waterproof, dustproof, shockproof, and freeze-proof. The biggest one, which is heavy, it requires a float strap, but the rest of them are actually floatable. So you can jump into the swimming pool, jump into the ocean, waterproof up to 5 meters of depth,
which makes them perfect for taking in the water. More on JVC's HD Evrio cameras is at jvc.com.
That was your Tech It Out Minute, brought to you by Asus.
So there's a big trend happening right now, and the question is, how can you capitalize on subscription-based models to grow your business? George Richter's in the house to help answer that question. He's the CEO and founder of OceanX. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. George, pleasure to have you on the show, brother. Break it down for us. How do we do it?
Thank you, Mark. So I really think the most important thing for an entrepreneur is you have to have a product. You have certain products around it. You have a passionate entrepreneur. Let's put that aside. But you have to understand the psychology behind it. Why do people want to receive your product? There's actually a renaissance in memberships. I think it's a very interesting thing. Social media connects us very much, but makes everybody very disconnected. So these businesses, box business, where things are in a box, they create a certain flair that person likes to receive it. Everybody likes to belong to something. Everybody likes to be known. And, you know, if a well-done business understands that, the person wants to receive that. And there's all these other factors. For example, it's really nice to receive something. You know, when you receive something...
Literally, when I get this from somebody, I'm like...
No, but when you receive something, it's very interesting, right? So it's anticipation. You open it up. So what is it?
What's in it?
If it's not exactly what you anticipated, if there's maybe a gift in there, or it's curated by a star, somebody you look up to, or by an expert, you know, tells you that's what you wear. That's how you look your best, Mark, right? That's the kind of thing. Or there's exclusive product, or there's discovery in there. So you open the box, there's something you haven't seen before. That makes people really excited receiving those boxes. Yeah. You've got to understand the psychology around it, and there's a lot of technical things around that. And the only thing I got to warn everybody, don't think you can just make that all up, because it's quite complicated.
So the psychology is something that I love that you brought up, because I think at the end of the day, I agree. People want to feel connected more now than ever before, because in some counterintuitive way, we believe social media allows us to be more connected than ever before, yet it also makes us more disconnected than ever before, because when we're actually face to face with people, we're looking at our phones. So although it connects us when we're home and we're feeling lonely, it also disconnects us when we're actually interacting and
people
engaging.
People don't talk to each other.
People don't talk to each other anymore.
Correct.
You go on the subway or you go outside. You go
everyone
anywhere.
Looks down. In an everyone's elevator.
In an elevator. Right? And everyone's looking at their phone. Yeah. So in some counterintuitive way, we're more disconnected / connected than ever before.
So people like to receive products where it is about them. And there's gifts in there, but it's about them. It's customized. They can connect to other people about that, but it's a customized, something customized, and my business all about providing a customized experience.
So I think a lot of business people tuning in right now are maybe aspiring entrepreneurs like me. Well, I am an entrepreneur, but I mean the aspiring entrepreneurs and the business owners out there like me may be wondering, how do I know if this is the right fit for me? How do I know? Because
I know you can test small, but at the same time, before I go in on something like this and get the logistics and what the product's going to be and the surveys and the R&D, how do I know if a subscription-based model is the right thing for me?
Well, there are people who can ask, for example, me.
Well, you're the guy. We got you.
Orchidex.com. You can ask me. We actually have an incubator program where you can sign up, and we help entrepreneurs. And there is, you know, lots of criteria around it. But I can tell you, if you have, you need enough product, right? There has to be some kind of an element of replenishment. You really need to have that. You have to have about 50 SKUs, different things to put in there. Okay. And then, of course, there's a size restriction. There's a value position. There is how you actually, how much it costs you to receive it, how long people would stay with the
program. Nationally, do I ship just domestic?
Thousand little things, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, you need help with this. So I would think the entrepreneur should worry about the product and the pricing, the positioning, the branding. That's where their heart is. And they should outsource it to people like me, OceanX, where we do this all day long.
All day.
Yeah. So where you get the expertise and you don't make mistakes, because you don't want to say...
Or you at least make a lot less.
You make less, and you waste a lot of money if you do it yourself. But just you cannot know. You cannot know about shipping rates. It's very complicated to charge credit cards these days, right? Mm. There's gift cards, there's promotional cards, there's debit cards, credit cards, there's different banks, different issues. You have to know all these kind of things. It's very, very difficult to do. Even address hygiene is a big thing.
So what was a mistake that you made when you first got into space? Just so other people out there know, yes, Mr. Expert, but you have made your mistakes too. What was one or two of the mistakes you made when you started?
The biggest problem is to go from the old membership economy to the new membership
economy.
Well,
what is the difference? You didn't even talk about that yet.
Okay, that's it's very interesting. The old membership economy is that the customer is like not so right. You just, it's a one-way street. You offer, remember the old music clubs?
I got you.
I ran the music clubs, right? You just, and then it somehow drowns you. The new membership economy is soft touch, easy in, easy out, a really good relationship. Social media changed everything, of course, right? That's it's a pleasant experience versus it's a one street thing. You receive until you have to cancel. And and in today's economy, in the new membership economy, in ideally scenario, you stay there forever. It's a forever membership. If you really feel comfortable that company has to sell, you need it anyway, why would you ever cancel?
Birchbox, Dollar Shave Club, some of the big ones that people know. And there's so many other versions of this.
Correct.
So I love it.
3,000 of them.
3,000 of them, to be exact. CEO and founder of OceanX, George Richter, is talking to us right now specifically about how do you know if it's right to get your business into a subscription-based model. So how much money does somebody need? Because we've been talking about a lot of expenses here. How much money does somebody need to either raise or have ready to invest, to go all in and do it right? As one of my mentors, John Ashcroft, says, play at the pro level. Don't come in and, I mean, I'm all for testing small, but if somebody wants to do it right, maybe they even work with you, how much money is that going to cost to play at the pro level and execute a true subscription-based model the right way?
Okay. I would call it like flying a kite. You can do with some wind, some money, you can test something. Let's call it $200,000. You can do test something, right?
That's a test. That's a test budget, $200,000.
I'm talking millions if you want to have a successful
business.
Right. You got to invest millions into that business if you want to have a really big business. And all the companies we discussed invested lots of money, right?
Yeah.
You know, hundreds of millions ultimately to grow really big. So this is not something, because the shipping is expensive. It's an expensive part. Yeah. Operations is expensive. There's a few things you got to know. The acquisition cost is important. About 30% of your revenue is into acquisition. That's kind of very important. And you need product. About 20% is product, and about 20% is operations. And the rest you have overhead and other stuff. So, you know, you need money. You need the capital to have the product.
Okay.
And you need to do advertising.
It doesn't work
without advertising.
I love that you broke it down into those sections, though, about 20%, 20%, 20% for allocation. And I love it because business, especially a subscription-based model, is all about the numbers. So I'm glad we broke that down. How does somebody learn more about you?
OceanX.com. That's a website. And, you know, hit us up. I really generally like to be helpful. Correct. And I help lots of people.
Well, thanks for helping out our audience, George. Appreciate you coming on.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that the host nor Business Rockstars is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.